brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Good morning. This is Lee Cantor and no Elizabeth Gordon. We have Stone Payton with us today. How are you doing, Stone?
Good morning, sir. I am doing well and fired up about later this week. Thursday evening, we're going to be out at the Georgia Aquarium with the WIT Connect folks.
That's right. Doing a live remote for the WIT Connect people to help them raise money for that important cause.
That's going to be a lot of fun. It was a blast last year. It was crazy auctioning off the time with the senior
time
level.
With the CIOs.
Yeah.
And the bidding gets rather steep.
Well, and when you interview some of them early in the program, they won't tell you who they're going to bid on.
Right,
I mean, they keep it all very close
to
the
secret.
Vest. So that's going to be a lot of fun. You and I are going to be out there, and I actually think Elizabeth Gordon is going to be out there for that. So that's going to be a lot of fun, but not any more fun than what we're going to do this morning. This is going to be a fun segment. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Kashi Singhal with Digital Atlanta Conference, get caught up with them and what they've got going on. And we're going to get a chance to visit with Stuart Brady with the Business House and Nancy Corpenning with C-Suite Advisors. But first up on Results Matter Radio, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce from Atlanta's Gathering of Angels, Mr. Tarby Bryant. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you very much, Tom. Pleasure to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Give us, if you would, just kind of a quick overview, mission and purpose of this Gathering of Angels. What are you guys out there trying to do for folks?
Sounds very spiritual.
It should be. The Gathering of Angels is now 18 years old, started in Santa Fe, where I used to live. And it came out of an economic development effort where young companies were leaving New Mexico, and the most famous of which was Microsoft, who started and they wrote DOS while they were in Albuquerque, ran up a bill with a local law firm and protecting the intellectual property around DOS. And at the end, the lawyers submitted a bill, as lawyers tend to do, and Bill Gates nor Paul Allen nor the software engineers and geeks didn't have $55,000, and they couldn't borrow it from the bank.
Right.
There weren't any VC firms. And so Bill Gates did what every good entrepreneur does. He called home. And his father loaned him the money on the condition that they would leave New Mexico. So because New Mexico couldn't raise $55,000 through an angel group, we lost all the Microsoft millionaires. And in 1995, I started the Gathering of Angels to stop the out-migration of young companies, spread it all over the country during the good years. And have been doing it in Atlanta now for 12 years. We funded over 380 young companies ranging from 20,000 to 12.5 million over a term of 18 years. So it's been an interesting process. I put angel investors, VCs, and investment bankers in the room, ply them with a light supper and lots of wine. The real secret to the process, wine is the elixir of finance. And people write their own individual checks, and we usually have 3 to 5 young companies that come and make presentations.
So now, can you educate our listeners maybe who aren't familiar with the difference between angel and VC?
Yeah. After friends, families, and fools comes angels. An angel investor is a term that started in Los Angeles when wealthy individuals were financing movies that were done during the 60s and the 70s. And then during the early 80s, there was a gentleman named Hans Severins in California that created a group called Band of Angels. And he was a wealthy PhD in nuclear physics and realized that putting people around the room collecting angels who would enjoy a wonderful dinner might be incensed to find an investment opportunity in young seed and early stage companies.
Mm-hmm. And then what is that level of investment? Is it, like you said, it can be $20,000?
Yeah,
it just ranges
ranges from the early investment after they've exhausted all their checking accounts and 401ks that may be 201ks mm-hmm. today. and their savings, and they've tapped out all their friends and family. They then look for people who do not they do not know, and the investment ranges from $20,000. We've had $100,000 checks written this year, and a few years ago we actually funded a company over two meetings for $12.5 million called IMED. That was from here in Atlanta. They had a coated stent, a drug-eluting coating stent company that keeps your blood vessels separated.
So now, when these small companies approach an angel, are they going to have to give up, you know, a huge portion of equity in exchange for the money?
It's a function of valuation of the company. They usually take an equity stake, but depending on the valuation of the company, and I basically help them with that to make sure that they give away as little as possible. So I basically represent the entrepreneurs. I herd the cats into the room and ply them with wine, and they have a wonderful evening. But at the end of the day, I represent the presenting companies, and I spend time before the meeting preparing them, training them, scrubbing them, getting them clean and ready, prepared to go to battle. And then we do practice sessions, Lee, in the afternoon from 3 to 5, and the meeting itself is from 5 to 8 today at the Vinings Club on the fourth Wednesday of every month.
So before they get the coaching, when they first walk in green, these presenters, what are some of the common mistakes that they make or things that they fail to do that you see like almost every time?
Most of them don't know. They know they need money. They don't know the amount of money that they need. Sometimes they don't have a business plan, and so I send them back to the drawing board without a business plan. I review the business plans and then help them with the valuation of the company, often pre-revenue, using discounted cash flow, which is my methodology. And once that gets done, I help them with a 20-minute PowerPoint presentation. 95% of them haven't done that. 95% of them have not done a one-page, very tight executive summary, and I have a template that I drop them into. And then they go to battle, and they go to showtime. And they're on stage. They have 20 minutes to make their presentation with PowerPoint, followed by 2 to 5 minutes of Q&A.
Now, when a company goes through this process and they're pre-revenue, how can you even determine?
That means they're not making any money yet. Is that what that means?
That's pre-revenue.
Right.
That's right.
Got it.
You know, let alone profits. But they all should have projections. That's part of a business plan. 3-year, okay. 5-year, better. And should take it all the way, not a full chart of accounts, but at least a snapshot summary of revenue, expenses, net loss, net profit. And then I usually take the third and fifth year net operating income after tax and multiply it times an industry multiple and then discount it at a 40 to 45% internal rate of return. So I have a methodology that I use to basically come up with a value of the company 5 years out and then bring it back to present value.
Now, how is crowdfunding affecting angels?
Well, I think it's another option for funding, and I am excited because my gathering of angels and other groups around the city and around the country certainly can't provide all the necessary capital. The rules and regulations, Lee, have not been written yet. The legislation is passed, but the implementation of it is yet to occur.
Even in Georgia? I thought Georgia was one of the few states.
Well, Georgia is, but you haven't seen that much of it. And I think what's often missing is that the interchange specifically between the young company and the angel investor, who most of the time provides more than just money. They provide expertise and guidance and contacts and referrals.
Now, isn't that something that maybe a small company doesn't realize? Like you said, money sounds like a good thing to get from a stranger, but isn't connections a better thing to get?
Well, I think so, and I think the interchange, and I've seen it now for 18 years, that goes on between an investor and a young company looking for money, the value that a seasoned warrior that has money in his or her pockets can offer to a particular company is immeasurable.
Now, this investor group of yours, is it a closed group with a secret handshake and a high barrier to entry, or anybody with pockets like Lee can get in, or how's it work?
Well, Lee can certainly get in. I'm not sure about you. Just joking. But I think the answer is no. I basically pre-screen all of the people that do attend the meetings. They do sign investor disclaimer forms certifying that they're an accredited angel investor. And that they fill out forms on each of the young companies, like an evaluation form. But the group in Atlanta now is about 165 that's on my email mailing list, and I get 35 to 40 per month that come to my meetings. People are traveling, and they have other obligations. But the crowds have been good in Atlanta, and the funding has occurred. We've done three fundings so far this year. I've got two pending.
Now, is there any type of industries that you specialize in?
All across the board. We have done bed and breakfasts. We've done restaurants.
Oh, so it doesn't have to be technology medical?
Not at all. I think that's the differentiation between my gathering of angels and the Atlanta Technology Angels, which deal specifically with tech sort of companies. But we've done software, we've done hardware, we've done medical device, we've done medical service. I don't do gambling and sex websites. Those are kind of off limits as far as I'm concerned, and I'm not interested in helping those kind of companies raise money. I assume they have other sources.
Now, but the tech angels, like a business plan for a tech angel would be different than a bed and breakfast, right? Like, 'cause they're looking for extremely high returns and they'll take more risks. Right, because they want the home run. They're not looking for singles.
Well, yes and no. You can actually. I've done two or three bed and breakfasts myself, so that there's a good chance for profit in those. And done. I did hotels when I was here in Atlanta. So, mm-hmm. Every business to look for money should have a business plan. Whether they're a B&B in Savannah, I did one there, or a medical device company. Like iMed, that was here in Atlanta and raised $12.5 million through my group.
Mm-hmm. So, what's your favorite part about this work? It's got to be very rewarding work. You must love it.
I do. And I taught corporate finance for 8 years in New Mexico at three universities at the graduate level. And I'm teaching every day. I'm teaching young companies how to both raise money and how to structure an investment opportunity that would be appealing, and then help them fashion an exit strategy, how the investor gets his or her money back. It's always nice. Only Uncle George gives you money and then doesn't really look for a return.
Do you have his phone number?
That's right. George Clooney. Number is... No, but I think that, it is fun. Tony, you're right, and I've enjoyed it. And there was a gentleman down in Jacksonville that was 92 years old that was still organizing, and he was my partner in an event down at the Sawgrass Marriott. And we did it at night, and he was struggling staying awake, but he was still doing it. At 92 years old, so I've got some high incentive to stay with the process.
So what can we do to help? What would you like to see more of? You want more people participating as presenters? You're looking to recruit more investors? Just get the word out about all of it?
Yeah, I think, Stone, it's both. I'm always interested in people who have made money from companies in the past and would like to support entrepreneurs. So those would be the angel investors, and certainly always interested in finding young companies looking for money. And they do pay a fee, so they pay $2,500 to present. Mm-hmm. So it's serious, an investment, but there's no percentage of money raised, and it is SEC regulated. So I adhere to the rules and regulations of the SEC, and there's no success fee. But I'm always looking for people on both sides of the aisle, both the presenters as well as the angel investors. We get one or two investment bankers that do come, and they do the bigger deals. The $2 to $5 million transactions are usually done by investment bankers.
So now, but an angel deal doesn't always have to be equity. It can be debt, right?
Can be, or a hybrid combination. A lot of it recently has been convertible debt with a coupon, and then convertible into either common or preferred stock at some point in the future based on a higher valuation.
And that's the stuff that you help coach the companies?
Yeah, I do. And I think the structure, I had one company in Atlanta and Santa Fe that came and was looking for $1 million. Asked him how he got his valuation. He grabbed at the air and said, this is how I came up with $1 a share. That's not really the proper way.
And, really?
And really it's
I'm
not.
Sure that's the way a lot of them do it, though.
Well, they do. But at the end of the day, somebody's going to, particularly a venture capitalist, is going to do his or her own valuation and come up with a number and then make an offer through a term sheet.
And then you help them, you kind of coach them up because they may need more rounds and then they don't want to dilute themselves too much, right?
Well, they come back, and I've had several. Clearwave is one of the Atlanta companies that has a kiosk for medical and dental reception areas. Just like when you check into Delta, you swipe your card. Well, when you use the Clearwave card to check in at your favorite primary physician, you run your credit card through and it tells the doc that you're there. It also does the copay and it checks the insurance and brings up your medical records.
Nice.
So we've done three rounds for Clearwave and they've raised $16.5 million. Some of it came through the Gathering of Angels that we've done here in Atlanta twice, and then also once we had a meeting in Columbia where they got some funding from an orthopedic surgeon there.
So what's the best way for potential investors and or presenters to reach out, have a conversation with you, and have an opportunity to participate in this process?
The website is probably the easiest way. It's gatheringofangels.com, www.gatheringofangels.com. My email address is my name, tarbycbryant@gmail.com, or my telephone number up in Big Canoe, Georgia, where I live, is 706-579-1080.
Well, Tarby Bryant, it has been an absolute delight having you in the studio today. This is a lot of fun. I think we got to do this again. I think it would make for a fantastic segment if we had Tarby and some of his team come down and maybe with an angel investor or two and or a presenter or two. Would
sure.
you be up for that?
Yeah, certainly. Or if you'd like to come, you guys come to one of my meetings, and I do them on the fourth Wednesday of every month, and you
right.
can certainly come out and do a remote.
And you'd help us.
There you go.
You'd get them to interview.
Yeah, I've actually done that with both the Atlanta Journal-Constitution as well as WSB. Craig Lucy came out and did a series of interviews,
all right.
one of the anchors for WSB.
We won't hold that against you, and we'll still consider it.
Hey, listen, you going to hang out with us for a little bit while we visit with our next guest?
It'd be my pleasure.
Fantastic. Next up on Results Matter, we have with us, no stranger to the Business Radio X
That's
microphone,
right.
Lee, we have back with us Miss Kashi Single with a Digital Atlanta Conference.
There's no way you said her name right.
Well, probably
I'll tell you
not.
Right
it was
now.
Close.
No, it wasn't.
It was really close.
No, it wasn't even close.
All right, so did I just call you K-Dog or what?
Absolutely. I've been known to go by that.
All right, we'll take it. So lay it on us. What's happening?
Well, we've got this great conference happening in October, October 7th through 11th. It's called Digital Atlanta. It's a five-day conference that talks about anything and everything digital.
Right. It's a free-for-all, right?
It's kind of a free-for-all, yeah. Absolutely.
Nice way to describe
it. But it's really fun. We had about 1,200 people attend last year.
Right.
About 70 sessions, and we're increasing that this year. So,
are you running? You're the key organizer of this, or you're organizing one portion of it?
I am point person.
Oh my, that's a lot of cats to wrangle there.
You know, I seem to enjoy the cat wrangling. It's a skill of mine, apparently, so I sign up for it.
I just made the screen larger on my Kindle,
yes.
And I now see that it's
SEH.
Seagull like the bird.
Seagull like the bird.
Right.
Okay. Now, now I'm in the truck with you.
So tell us what happens. Like, this started out as a small affair, and it's kind of expanded over the years, hasn't
it? Yeah, you know, it started as Social Media Atlanta
right.
a few years ago. This is our third year as Digital Atlanta.
Right.
And it really has grown over the years. We started at the Fox. We had a big at Social Media Atlanta started right. at the Fox, and then really have grown. Last year we had the conference at Digital at Atlantic Station, and they were great partners. And so we're going to have the conference again at Atlantic Station this year. And it was just a great opportunity to have all the sessions in one place, but have it really be a friendly atmosphere, laid back, relaxed. You know, you could walk down the street and get some food at a restaurant, come back, attend a session. You're out in the open. October's beautiful weather in Atlanta. So
is that how it's going to be? So this year's going to be the same thing?
Same deal. Absolutely.
And so now walk us through. You're an attendee. How would you attack this?
Well, we have all kinds of tracks that you can pick from. So we have just closed our speaker submission process for this year, which ended on May 31st. So we're currently in the process of selecting all of our speakers.
Did Lee make the cut?
I don't think so.
No.
Did you apply?
Probably
sneak you in.
Thank you.
But we're currently in the process of selecting all of our speakers, but the way that you would get involved is either sign up to register on our website at digitalatlanta.org. A registration opens in July, and you can also sign up to be a volunteer. And we are always looking for volunteers, and there's a way to do that on our website.
So there's lots of tracks happening all throughout the 5 days, right?
Correct. So we have tracks. We've got social media, mobile, nonprofit, gaming, sports, startup, entertainment, and culture.
And
I think I got all of them.
Now, your background is mobile, right?
Or mobile, and I have traditionally worked on the mobile track for the conference.
Now, let's talk about that one since you're kind of an expert in that space. What is if somebody went down the mobile track, what are some of the things they would get as a takeaway, you think?
This is really true for all of the tracks, but we really try to rank our tracks from beginner, intermediate, and expert.
Right.
So there's a lot of how-to, so how to use a text message to market what you're doing, or how to use a text message or a phone call.
So there's some basic stuff you can find.
Some
if you're just kind of learning about that space or curious about it, you can benefit just from getting an overview and kind of...
Exactly. So in the social media track, you might find, you know, how to use Twitter effectively or LinkedIn or, SEO. So how do you maximize your website to get the most hits? So there's a lot of how-to, but then there's a lot of bigger concept as well. So, you know, putting together a panel on the future of mobile in Atlanta or, you know, having thought leaders come and talk about different topics.
So if you're more advanced, you can really dig deep and really kind of explore that.
So the
topic.
Conference really is for everybody. I mean, we have small businesses that come for the how-to and to participate in some of these larger conversations. And then we also have C-suite and, you know, marketing execs and agencies that come because they get a lot out of not only hearing the content, but it's a great place to meet people. You know, just being involved with a conference the last few years, I mean, I can't tell you how great it's been just personally and professionally.
Now, you're the grand poobah at Gigabark, this is your wheelhouse, right? The mobile messaging and that kind of thing. So walk us through.
I might change my card. You know, I actually kind of like that. Yeah.
Well, it's easier for me to pronounce then. talk us through a little bit some of some of the most effective applications of this technology for business. Maybe just, you don't have to share client names if you don't want to, but maybe you could just share some examples of how companies are using this and how it's impacted them.
So, okay, at Gigabark, we focus on phone calls and text messaging as a technology. There are lots of ways to use automated notifications. So, thinking through the text messaging, which is where a lot of people are headed to this time, we've got doctor's offices that use appointment reminder services,
right.
A lot of customer satisfaction surveys, push notifications that can be kicked off through an app or any kind of software. You've got a lot of fitness apps that are being built right now that are trying to push make sure you do your 25 jumping jacks or make sure
that's cool.
You know, things like that. So, but we've got all kinds of uses. I mean, hotels using us for pre-arrival communication and restaurants using survey communication, mobile couponing.
What just struck me was Bern Forman, who underwrites this show,
right.
For those in their ecosystem who desired it, they could have sent out a message this morning or yesterday, hey, we've got Kashi coming on the show tomorrow. We've got, you know, don't forget,
right.
We've got
as
results.
A reminder.
Absolutely.
Right?
And,
that-
you know, there are lots of innovative ways for companies to use something that comes to your phone, because a text message really has a 98% open rate. I mean, it is the
wow.
best way to reach somebody. And you want to make sure that people have signed up to receive your communications, or at least they're a customer or a fan or,
right.
you know, somebody that is looking to receive communication from you so that you're not spamming them and annoying them. But, you know, assuming that they've signed up to hear from you, getting them to text in to vote or text in to sign up for a list, you can be a car company and do, you know, a scavenger hunt all over the city through a text message where people get clues and they drive your car around from place to place. I mean, there's so much creative use of this technology because it comes right to people. You're not asking them to do anything to get a message, you know, as you are with Twitter, where they have to sign up for your Twitter feed, Facebook, they have to like your page, then they actually have to see it come through their feed, because if they have 2,000 friends, you know, the chances of you seeing something come through about a restaurant or
right.
a happy hour special,
it's like
is
almost
very
pure
slim.
Luck, right?
Right, and you have to remember to check the page, right.
right?
So if something's being pushed to you, hey, you know, happy hour specials from 5 to 7, swing by on your way home from work, oh, I can think about getting some friends together for that. Yeah, I wasn't thinking about that, but that's a good idea.
Now, you're also very active in the community, right? And that's...
I try to be.
And how do you get all this stuff done?
Time management.
But you're involved with several nonprofits, right?
She sends herself those messages.
It's time
lots
to
do
of
this.
Reminders.
It's time to do that.
I am a client of my own business, yes. Perks. Yeah, I mean, I've got two nonprofits of my own, and it's great that, you know, we've got volunteers that help us. We can always use more, but we've got one that has a big event coming up in September called the Mentor Walk.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically aim to help solve the high school dropout problem here in Georgia, specifically Atlanta. So you get
business people mentoring kids, high school kids?
We will, actually. We have somewhere between 800 and 1,000 kids coming to Georgia Tech on September 14th. They'll be paired up with Accenture, has been just an amazing partner in this. And so Accenture is going to provide coaches for these kids. So it'll be about 6 kids to 1 Accenture coach, as well as a college kid that will have trained by Accenture. So they get, you know, a lot out of being paired up with such a great company. The kids will go through this walk around campus, which is an exposure to college in many cases for their first time.
And there'll be text clues, right?
There will be text surveys, absolutely. But then they get paired up with these coaches, and the coaches will take them through information on college prep, job skills, like job interviews and how to start your own business. I couldn't let us get through the day without talking about how to be an entrepreneur.
Right.
And also financial literacy. So, you know, what we're trying to do is raise awareness with these kids about what you can do if you graduate high school. You know, so we're trying to get them past that point. So the future is open to you if you can just get through that process.
So for the Digital Atlanta Conference and all these other things that you've got going, I think we need to make sure that we're coordinating with you here at the Business Radio X Network, either through this show or some of the other shows in the network.
Yeah.
I think we need to give you an opportunity to bring sponsors, speakers in, and kind of help you pre-promote, and then maybe on the ones where it makes sense, come behind those events and recap it.
Absolutely.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, we want to support everything you're describing. Lee and I, as many of our listeners know, have a particular affinity for youth who are interested in entrepreneurship.
Excellent.
That's a real soft spot, I guess, for us, isn't it?
Right. So what's the best way if somebody wants to learn more about Digital Atlanta?
So if you want to learn more about the conference, you can go to digitalatlanta.org. And if you have questions for me specifically, you can email me at info@digitalatlanta.org, and that comes straight to me.
And your company's website?
Company is Gigabark, and our website is Gigabark, GIGABARK.com.
All right. Hang out with us while we visit with our next guest, will
you? Absolutely.
All right. Next up on Results Matter this morning, we have with us from the Business House, Mr. Stuart Brady. How you doing, man?
Good, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. You put your jacket back on in this heat?
I did.
Nobody's looking.
Okay.
I wouldn't have told on you. In fact, I told on you for having the jacket on, didn't I? The Business House. What's this all about, man?
We do mergers and acquisitions.
What are you doing more of?
Mergers.
Mergers?
Yeah. So I'd say acquisitions, really, because it's almost a hard word to define from the standpoint of the buyer and the seller. You've got a lot of egos and personalities in those transactions that you have to deal with in the process.
So what's your backstory? How did you get in that line of work?
It's been an evolution. Basically, I grew up in a very entrepreneurial family and had a lot of exposure growing up in terms of different businesses. And we've been exposed to a lot over the years, over the decades, really, and it's just been a great experience. Great evolution.
Now, are you just like scouring the yellow pages for companies to buy, or people are coming up to you saying, I want to sell my business, or I'm looking to buy? Like, who do you hang out with more, buyers or sellers?
We prefer the sellers, because that way you kind of can control their agenda when they know what they want to do in terms of coming close to selling their business. So you'll meet Nancy here in a minute, who helps get the companies ready so we can help make the transaction a lot more successful.
Okay, so now if you have a person who's ready to sell, they contact you. Do you get them in selling shape? Is there a way to, like when you're selling your house, you got to paint and you got to do some stuff?
Sure. There's all sorts of steps and processes to make it more desirable for the strategic buyer. And that's who we really want to sell these businesses to, as opposed to selling a job.
Uh-huh.
So it's basically selling it up the food chain to somebody that recognizes that there's a proprietary product, service, or reason why they would want to acquire this company.
So are there some poison pills or whatever the term is, some things that, look, you got to fix that or nobody's going to buy this?
Pretty much. You know where the bodies are buried, and you want to make sure that they don't come back to roost. So you want to clean it up before you go to market.
So, like, don't some business owners, they use, like, their business bank account as their own personal checking account? You know, they're buying, you know, they got their kids' college in there.
Why are
they got,
you looking at me while you talk about this?
Right? Isn't that a lot of entrepreneurs do that, right? You got to clean up the books a little bit, right?
Definitely. You want to make it more desirable for the bigger players to take you out.
So what do you do? So you come in there, they work with you. Are you going in there and then you give them a checklist? You've got to take care of these 20 things before we can get going?
Pretty much.
It's the Brady method.
Oh, yeah. Boy. Secret sauce.
You have a methodology?
Yeah, there's definitely a methodology to the process.
Now, you mentioned strategic buyer. You consciously used that term a moment ago, mm-hmm. as opposed to
a financial buyer, somebody that's basically they're willing to buy it because there's reasons that it adds value to them, as opposed to a financial buyer that's basically just looking at the cash flow of the business. So the strategic buyer is certainly willing to pay a lot more, especially if you're selling it upstream in terms of to a bigger holding company.
So now, are you counseling, like you're advocating for this company? Like, say,
yes,
like
they would engage us to help them sell their business.
Right. Like, take Business Radio X, for example. We have a network here in town, and say there was somebody here in town that wanted to buy it because they wanted to own a network here in town, but maybe you have contacts with a national broadcasting company. You're like, you know what, that guy is fine, but there's a bigger fish out there that we might be able to get more money, and you can.
Most definitely.
So you would help counsel?
Yes. And again, where the strategic would come into play, say, like, read an article this morning about Ed Baker at the Business Chronicle.
Right.
You know, where they might want to expand into this type of a network. So you just find different channels that would be a little to the left, a little to the right of what their typical channels are.
Right.
So how do you do your sales and marketing? Because it strikes me that if you have a substantive conversation like this with either side of the table, mm-hmm. in those transactions, sounds to me like people would say, hey, I think this Brady character is somebody I could work with. But how do you even get in front of these folks and have these conversations?
Well, the firm that I'm associated with, the Business House, we've been doing it for 20-plus years. I've been doing it about 9. So Jeff Mary, the owner of the company, has built a very successful machine. So the name is well-recognized in the Southeast for business owners just through marketing and promotion and successful transactions. So they find us, we find them. Nancy and I are doing a seminar later this week, working with buyers that might want to be involved in this process. And, we've got aging demographics where a lot of business owners are approaching retirement that do not have a successful plan that they need our help.
I want to bring Nancy into this conversation now instead of waiting.
All right. Is that okay
everybody
with you?
Cool with that? Because you guys are working together.
Sure,
I'd like to learn more about how all that comes together. Nancy Corpenning?
That's right.
See there? I got that one
that
right.
That was awesome.
And the name of your firm?
C-Suite Advisors.
C-Suite Advisors. Give us a quick thumbnail sketch overview, and then let's talk about how you guys work together.
Yeah, absolutely. We work with small business owners trying to help them focus on the right priorities to get to success.
So Lee should talk to you, and then we should go, then we'll go talk to Stuart.
Yeah, I work a lot, you know, Tarby talking about business planning, that's at the heart of all of our work with business owners. And a business plan doesn't have to be 30 or 40 pages long. In fact, we use a one-page business plan.
Oh, baby, you're singing my song now.
And it is, in fact, I call it the practically painless one-page business plan. Simple but not easy. Actually, we work mostly with going and growing businesses that have been around, have had some success. But as you grow, things get more complex, and you don't have as much time to work in the business. You really need to be spending a little bit of time working on it and taking time to think. And so, in a way, I kind of give them permission to think about it, and I block off some of their time. And we work on what needs to get worked on to get them where they want to go. Discussing exit strategies is something every single business needs to do, but almost none of them do.
Yeah.
So
you
got
to kind of look at how you're going to end the company before you actually are really beginning the company?
Ideally.
Yeah. You need to, and it's not to say that may not change, but to start a business with an idea, I'm going to sell that in 3 to 5 years.
Right.
It's very different than I'm leaving corporate America and I'm going to have a business that I can work on until they put me in the grave. Those are real different exit strategies. The exit strategy may not be selling. It may be prepping a succession within your family,
right,
with a business partner, with an employee. But it's really taking that time to think about it. Are you going to be working in this business for a while? And it's not that complicated, but it's really important, and it's important to look at it more than once over time. I think that's one of the misconceptions about planning of any kind, whether it's a business plan or an exit plan or a succession plan, is that you do it once and it's done. Nah.
No.
You look at it over and over.
Right, it's kind of a living, breathing thing.
Absolutely. It's only as good as it is reflective of reality today.
So how do you two work together? Does Stuart, you refer to her? Like when a company needs help, like they're like, you're not ready to be talking about selling yet. You got to get your house in order.
Exactly.
Yep. And similarly, once they are ready to sell, that's not my wheelhouse.
Right.
So I help my clients find experts and help them understand when and how to hire an expert. How do you interview somebody? How do you decide who you want to work with? And so by the time they get to Stuart, he doesn't have to worry about their books being in order. They're going to have been in order.
Right.
And it may take time. I mean, that's the other thing folks don't realize is this is not a 1 or 2 or 3 month.
Right. You don't knock this out in a weekend, right?
No. And especially not if you're wanting to sell. I had a very dear friend approach me recently and said, I think I need your help. I want to sell my company. And I said, when are you thinking? And he goes, this summer. Oh, wow.
It's not like your car, right?
Yeah.
He wanted to go to the beach.
So, well, you're only about 4 or 5 years late. So we'll see what we can do. But I'd so much rather get to talk with people when there's something that we can do to help.
Right.
That's really the
Now, how important is kind of having a group of trusted advisors and, you know, people you can count on to, like maybe a board of directors or even if it's a loosely formed board of directors to help you in this selling process? Does that help your job?
Absolutely.
Stuart?
I mean, again, if they come to the table with a plan, it makes our job a lot easier. And so many of them don't. I mean, it's kind of sad in our industry. It's like most folks, business owners, spend more time planning their family vacation than they do their selling of their business.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, it's a fact. We don't want to see that. And they don't want to admit it, but it's true. So plan ahead.
Going and growing. I think you may see that on Business Radio X letterhead in the coming weeks. I think that's fantastic.
Great.
So I have a little quiz for you, Lee. But
yes.
I think you're going to do well. niches
bring you riches.
And I believe Nancy believes in this. You have made a conscious decision to focus on a very specific market.
Absolutely.
Namely
women business owners.
All right. Tell us why.
Well, I started C-Suite Advisors back in 2006 after leaving almost 30 years in corporate America. And I had totally drunk the corporate Kool-Aid, meaning I had no idea anything about small businesses. And when I learned about this, just the statistics of where the revenue comes from, where the jobs come from, I shifted about overnight, and I am now the small business evangelist. But one of the really important tools and groups that helped me in the beginning, and one of the first things I did, was I joined the National Association of Women Business Owners, called NABO. NABO is the oldest and biggest national membership organization exclusively for women business owners. And I have learned so much and gained so much from my association with them. And this is a volunteer-run and led organization locally. The Atlanta chapter is very active, talking about the need for having a board of advisors. One of the things that we offer our members is the opportunity to be part of a CEO roundtable. Mm-hmm. And I facilitate that for NABO Atlanta. And this is a group of women business owners that get together for a half day a month. They're non-competitive businesses, and we discuss strategic issues in a very confidential environment. And it is so encouraging and inspiring and helpful. We get to know each other's businesses really well. Some of the folks in my group have been together for 6 years, so we really know each other's
right.
businesses.
And they hold each other accountable, right?
Absolutely. Accountability. We have done so many business alliances, too, finding opportunities to work with and tell my clients about these folks and their services has been wonderful. And on a national level, NABO has been instrumental in public policy. One of the other things that still, I've heard the story so many times that it still shocks me. NABO was instrumental in the passage of H.R. 5050, which was the Women's Business Ownership Act. And that was passed to allow women to sign their own financial documents without a male co-signer who did not have to be part of the business. He just had to come with equipment. And when I found out what year that was signed, what year do you think it was signed?
I have no idea.
1988. Until 1988, women had to have a male co-signer.
I can't wait to tell Holly that.
Yeah, that's
you know,
from across the room.
Right.
I told a group of Pakistani business visitors recently about that, and they were like, and you're supposed to be
right,
the progressive
exactly,
ones.
Really.
Yeah, right.
88, wow.
So, Stuart, I got to ask you a quick
sure.
question, because it has been my personal experience that women are smarter, more collaborative,
I would
and
agree with that.
Better with money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is this your experience as well?
I'm politically going to answer that correctly, yes.
No, but there's something to that. I know that's, you know, overgeneralization. But.
Well, you know, statistics that we've collected with NABO have shown that women tend not to want to give up any of their equity. That's why crowdfunding is absolutely tailor-made for women entrepreneurs. I'm really excited about it. And they would rather bootstrap friends and family, whatever it takes to get their dream into the hands of the market. And boy, one of the successful women entrepreneurs I heard recently said, you know, here I am, I've got a $10 million company, and all those banks that wouldn't give me a loan, now they want my business.
Exactly.
And
that's
I
great.
Think she inspired a lot of folks there.
So now, Stuart, when somebody's getting ready to sell their business, you guys have some tool, a saleability report, is that right?
Yes. John Werlo. It's a doozy of a name. A nice guy. He's basically produced this saleability report, which we encourage our clients to take, that just assesses how their businesses will be seen by the buyers in the market, whether, again, it's a family succession or selling into a, you know, to a public company.
Now, do you work a lot with family-owned businesses?
Yes, in most cases, that's what they are, because these are typically smaller businesses, not Wall Street deals.
Right. And so then when you sell a family-owned business, is it to another family-owned business?
Somebody further up in the food chain.
Uh-huh. Now, this saleability report, is it available on your website? Or how?
Yes, by all means. Nancy's website as well as ours.
So you both use the same tool?
Yeah, I've been working with John ever since I first discovered his book, Built to Sell.
Great book.
And I have given it to every one of my clients.
Really?
It is, first of all, it's written in the like a story.
Uh-huh.
And so it's easy to read. It's not people who say, I don't like business books. It's you can sit down and read it in one sitting. And there's some important lessons for any business owner. And again, just to think about the possibility of exit. And once he came out with the sellability score, again, what my clients and folks who've taken the survey have told me is nobody ever asked me these questions before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important. Plus, you know, they can do it on their own. It's free. It's online. You get a score. And then if you want to talk about it some more, there's a way to key in to Stuart or me or somebody who you really – it depends on kind of where you are in that business life cycle, mm-hmm. as to who you need to talk with. Unfortunately, most people wait until they're like, yeah, I want to sell it this summer. and we're really on this campaign to get people to think about it 5-6 years ahead, minimally.
Right.
I love to give my clients the most possible options.
Right.
And time produces options.
Now, so. Stuart, what is the, a lot of, I'm sure this happens all the time, you got to manage the expectations of mm-hmm. the seller because they think, well, my business is worth X. And you're like, ah, I don't think so. You know, right? You have to kind of, it's usually, I would imagine, the seller thinks it's worth more than what you can sell it for.
That's true.
Is that true?
That is true.
So right off the bat, you're kind of in a hole. You got to kind of work yourself out of. How do you kind of walk them through that to give them an idea of, look, this is what reality is, and what are some of the kind of rules of thumb that when someone's selling a business, that it's 4 times revenue or 10 mm-hmm. times or whatever the number is? How do you kind of?
Sure. The strategic buyers are looking – the first thing they're looking for is the profitability of the company. So mm-hmm. that's the most important. Then the next thing after that would be the scalability. How fast could somebody grow this business?
Right.
Thereafter that, they're looking at, you know, procedures, management styles, operations. You know, is there a proprietary product, something that adds value? And then, of course, right. then management team, et cetera, et cetera. But to answer your question in terms of will – early on in the process, we'll do a valuation on the company that – typically might be a third party, so somebody's telling you. Right,
so then it's not your fault. You're not the bad guy. Right?
Exactly.
Could we maybe get you to state on air that radio is typically a 10 Best times?
10 times.
10 times. 10 multiple.
10 multiple. So, Nancy, we already hooked you up with Tarby and Kashi. What else can we do for you? What do you
mean? Well, there are a couple of things that I'd love to share information about. First of all, Navajo Atlanta is having a wonderful program this Thursday, especially for women entrepreneurs, remarkably right. enough. We have a panel of 8 women entrepreneurs discussing Sheryl Sandberg's recent book, Lean In. And it's going to be awesome. We've got millennials, Gen Xers and boomers discussing feminism. So that's at the Buckhead Club, and people can go to the naboatlanta.org website and sign up. Men are welcome as well. We love men. And then, as Stuart had alluded to, he and I are doing a seminar this Friday for business owners on the 8 factors that help improve profitability. And doing that today will be a really good thing for them tomorrow, regardless. So that information is available on our website, csuiteadvisors.com, and all of the registration information and everything is there.
All right. And Stuart, best way for folks to reach out and have a conversation with you?
Sure, of course. TheBusinessHouseInc.com, and my email is sjb@TheBusinessHouseInc.com.
Now, in both of your websites, there's a lot of free tools and resources for somebody to go by, and then they can really benefit their business just by exploring your websites.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
And the more educated, the better.
Right.
Now, where is your talk on Friday going to be?
That's going to be held at the Georgian Club, which is up at the Galleria.
Right.
And it does require, there is a fee, and we do have a special going right now. So if a business owner wants to bring a friend, it's 2 for the price of 1.
And then they can get information at either your website, they can figure out.
Sure.
Yeah, it's on my website,
okay.
The C-Suite Advisors website. So.
All right. Well, good stuff. Well, thank you all for being part of the show.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next week on Burr & Foreman's Results Matter.
This has been a joint production of Burr & Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr & Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr & Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.